Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of our dearest Lord, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning and Sai Ram, dear listeners. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, your all-day-long live connection to Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 29th of March, 2018, and the time in the ashram right now is 42 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Current weather conditions in the Divine Valley are sunny with bright blue skies, zero noise and zero air pollution inside our slice of heaven, and the mercury is pegged at 29 degrees Celsius at this moment. However, it's kind of climbing these days, so it's expected to rise to 38 degrees Celsius in the late afternoon. I guess, come April, we may touch the big 40 or 40 degrees Celsius soon. Puttaparthi, it's hot, and yet it's home, always, for all reasons and all seasons. By the way, the sweetest ever watermelons and cantaloupes are in season, and the Bharatiya way of life teaches us to celebrate always, come spring, summer, fall, or winter, and to celebrate in harmony with nature's bounty. So seasonal fruits provide us just the right combination of hydration, nutrients, and taste. After the current season of seedless grapes, sweet and juicy melons, we are awaiting the raw green mangoes, followed by the luscious, juicy, yellow, sweet, bigger mangoes. And lots of nimbupani, that is freshly made lemonade, which is the best antidote to the rising mercury. While the Vidyagiri complex is in the grip of examination fever, with our schools and university students completing their academic terms and returning home for the annual vacation, the ashram is busy preparing for the most solemn and emotional day coming up on April 24th, 2018, the Aradhana Mahotsavam. As you may recall, 7 years ago, on this date, that is 24th of April 2011, the Purna Avatar of the Kali Yuga, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, assumed his infinite form as the cosmic light. For millions of us, even the thought of the transition from the most beautiful form of our Lord to the formless is tormenting. The love of our lives attained formlessness as the cosmic infinite. What is shocking about the love of this apostle of absolutely selfless love, our Bhagwan, is that all of us managed to survive the event unscathed. At one level, it appeared impossible that any of us would be able to live or breathe a moment without his physical presence. Yet, we survived the seismic shift in our lives, and we have reconfigured our connection with him through his residence within our hearts. It is all a gift of his grace. And what a strong and vibrant and live wire connection that we have with him. Today we experience Bhagwan's omniscience, omnipresence and omnipotence with even greater, the greatest possible intensity is what I would say. Yet the date of April 24th will remain the most emotionally charged and somber date on our calendars forever and ever. Dear sisters and brothers, I hope you're making solid plans to be here on that day to offer your respects and to rededicate our lives to the divine mission with all that we have, our love, our lives, our energy, our time, our talent. For all of it is but His gift to us. Now today I have a very important question for our listeners this morning. And this is a matter of great detail taken from an account that Professor G. Venkatraman has shared regarding the final journey of Bhagwan from Yajur Mandir to the hospital on that fateful day when he took an ill. It talks about how Bhagwan was taken to the super hospital, and when the Lord was wheeled into the operation theater or into the examination theater, there were two persons standing on the side who had rushed there. One of them was Professor G. Venkatraman, and the other person was his friend, another very important Sai devotee. And Bhagwan turned and gently smiled at this other person who was accompanying Dr. Venkatraman. So, technically, this person became the last person to receive that beautiful smile of Swami sitting on the throne. It's a historic detail. And after that, Bhagwan was a patient for some time before he left the body. Who is that blessed person whom the Lord gifted the final smile before he took upon himself the role of a patient and eventually left the body? This is my question to you, not a simple one, yet quite simple if you listen to Dr. Venkatraman. Tell me the name of the devotee who received the gift of Bhagwan's final smile as our Lord was being wheeled into the hospital on that fateful day in late March 2011. Please email me your replies immediately at karuna@radiosai.org. That is karuna@radiosai.org. I will be waiting for your correct answers over the next 25 minutes or so. Meanwhile, I have lined up a very special conversation for you on Morning Glory. Sad to say that India has the highest rate of breast cancer deaths in the world. In today's episode of Tris with Divinity, you will hear from a survivor of this deadly disease and how her faith helped her through the painful journey. Meanwhile, dear sisters and brothers, I am awaiting to hear from you with your answer to my question, which is namely, who is the person that God smiled at for the very last time during His recent visit to earth in the form of our beloved and most beautiful Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba? You can reach me by email at karuna@radiosai.org. And now I leave you to enjoy this episode of Tris with Divinity with Mrs. Mona Koteja of the United States of America. Have a listen, please. Om Shri Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Tris with Divinity. The name of the program, Tris with Divinity, really sounds or comes true today in light of the experiences of my guest who is here in the studio with me. Mrs. Mona Koteja was born in Vadodara in India and raised in Southern California since she was 3 years old. She is an alumna of the University of California at Riverside. And currently she works as in the administration at the Western Diabetes Institute at Pomona, California. She's raised in a family of Sai belief and married into one, and she's a member of the Karuna Center in Corona, California. However, the reason we have invited Mona to share the next little while with us and walk us through what she's been is because over the past 3 years, Mona suffered from breast cancer and she underwent 9 surgeries. Throughout this journey, as she was battling cancer, she and her entire family had complete faith in Swami to take care of everything. From, I believe, the first day she stepped into the breast cancer specialist office, till this day when she's seated at Radio Sai to record this interview with us, Swami has shown His presence, guidance and miracles throughout her journey. Now, with the grace of God and the help of her doctors, Mona is cured of the cancer. And she's on a mission to help other women to be strong and to have faith. Her faith throughout has been incredible. And because of this faith, she believed she was able to battle the cancer head on and succeed. And therefore we felt that perhaps a message of faith and strength could reach millions of women listeners around the world through Radio Sai who might be going through similar experiences. On that note, I welcome Sister Mona Koteja to Radio Sai. Sai Ram, Mona, and welcome to Tris for Divinity.
Sai Ram, Didi, thank you so much for the invitation and my most humble pranams at Swami's feet. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram to you too. And you know, you are one of the sheroes, you know, the she heroes of this story of battling the big C, which seems to be plaguing our society. And the statistics in India are staggering, I believe.
Yes.
Because in India, India has the highest breast cancer rate in the world. And one out of two women who are diagnosed with this deadly disease end up not surviving it.
Correct.
They succumb to it. Now, this is very scary. I'm going to take you back. I hope it's not too painful for you, Mona. I'm going to take you back to the time, the date, when you found out you were not keeping good health. When was it?
So in December 2013, I realized there was some change going on in my body, particularly in my right breast. Then in January 2014, I noticed a little more significant change. So at that time, I decided I should see the doctor. And at which time I saw the doctor and she sent me to get several mammograms done. And thereafter, they felt as though I needed to get biopsy done. So I had biopsies done in both right and left breasts. And then that was in Jan. And so this was in a series. So all the way until end of April, this was going on. Then May 8th, which was a Thursday, she called me into her office to go over the results of the biopsy. I was nervous, but I said to Swami, hold my hand. And she gave me the results. My husband was also there with me. And the words, you have breast cancer, fell deaf on my ears. I became numb. I had to just stay still for a minute, like, wow, what just happened? And then I had to gather myself. I had to compose myself. And I said, Sai Ram, what are the next steps? And then she said, well, I've put together an appointment already for you for the following Thursday. See, already Swami has set things in motion. Thursday, I find out. Thank you, Swami. Already the appointment with the breast surgeon, she had taken care of that following Thursday. Thank you, Swami. My husband said to Swami that you have led her to it, you lead her through it. So show us signs along the way, every step of the way, show us signs of your presence. And that he has. So the following Thursday, we go to the breast surgeon's office, Dr. Lori Vanyo. And it just so happens that Dr. Vanyo is partners with Dr. Ashok Sharma, who is a Sai devotee. So we go into the office and I see Dr. Sharma. We know him. And I said, I'm here. And he said, whenever you come, Swami's right here. You come. You do pranam, you take vibhuti, and you go for your appointment. And when you leave, you also can sit here for however long you want. Again, Swami's sign.
He has Swami in his clinic there?
Yes. Their devotee is of Swami.
And then what was the next step? The surgeon advised you to undergo surgery?
Yes. Then the surgeon advised me to undergo surgery as the tumor looked to be about quite large. Couldn't tell until we did an MRI. So I had to undergo an MRI in which that showed the tumor to be the size almost 4 centimeters, which is quite big. And with that, my oncologist suggested that perhaps it would be 60 to 70% possibility to undergo chemotherapy. with that size of a tumor. The pathology report showed that I had DCIS, which is ductal carcinoma in situ. It's the beginning stages I had of breast cancer. However, because of the size of the tumor, they recommended that I remove one breast first. Now, to back up just a little bit, I had already decided in my head that I wanted to remove both. And the reason for that is because I have a strong family history. On my dad's side, his eldest brother, his one and only daughter, had breast cancer about 23 years ago. She's a survivor. And then the second eldest brother, both of his daughters, 10 and 7 years ago approximately. And then my dad is the third, and I'm the only daughter. All of us diagnosed in our 40s. So with that, I had the MRI done and then went for the surgery. Before the surgery, I asked Swami, you be the surgeon, you be the anesthesiologist, you be the anesthesia, you be everything in that operating theater. And when I came out, and they had to also take out my lymph nodes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
They had to take out my lymph nodes because they have to make sure that this has not spread into the rest of the body. So that's a very important piece when they remove the breast. Mm-hmm. They have to make sure that they remove the lymph nodes, and two were removed for myself. So after the surgery, I was coming out of the anesthesia, and my breast surgeon came in front of me as I was waking up, and she said, she had this huge smile on her face, and she said, Mona, we did good. You did good. You did good. The lymph nodes are clear. And I said, oh, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Vanya. And I fell back asleep. Then next thing I know, from the left side of my bedside, I see this bright light coming towards me. And I'm thinking, what is that light? It's like a bright light. And then it turns into Swami. But Swami is in a, like a young form. And he's in black and white. But everything else in the background, the nurses, the other beds, everything else is color. And then he comes to me and he touches my leg or my hand. I don't remember. And he said, sweetly said to me, Bangaru, I have performed your surgery.
Were you awake when you saw this?
I was, I don't know if I was almost awake, getting there, because the doctor had just come.
And spoken to you.
And spoken to me. And then next thing I know, Swami was there. Mm. And he said, Bangaru, I have performed your surgery. Mm. Next thing, and I just wept. And I knew right then that this is it. This is the sign. He's going to take care of every single thing. And he did. Every single step. My job was to make sure to keep that faith. And make sure that that faith was unwavering. That it was steadfast. I prayed. I prayed to Swami to make me fearless. And make me strong. And he did. Before I went into surgery, I was smiling, and these guys were saying, what are you doing? I said, I know Swami's there.
This was your first surgery.
This was the first surgery. Actually, if I can back up before that surgery, if I may tell you a little dream that I had. Every day I used to, from the center, the host had given me Baba's Lingam healing picture, a small one. And I used to put that on my chest every day before sleeping. Every day, actually whole day it used to be there, but especially at night. So this was the Thursday before the first surgery. Swami came in my dream, and he came in my dream, but he was wearing a very odd robe. It was almost like as if he was wearing an X-ray robe, like the thing that they put over you when you have an X-ray. And I was wondering, that's odd, and it was like a beige color. And he came to my side, and he looked me right in the eyes, and he said, "I've come to take you." And I said, your will, Swami, it's your will." And I went back to sleep. The next morning, that lingam picture was nowhere to be found. Nowhere. Not under my bed, not in the sheets, not under the pillow, not stuck somewhere in my clothes. It was gone. I took that as a sign that he came to take away whatever needed to be taken away. And if it's me, so be it. And then I went for the surgery. And he came and told me what he told me, that he was there and he performed the surgery.
Why did you need another 8 surgeries then?
Well, Swami likes the number 9, doesn't he? So, the group of doctors that were put together, amazing, amazing. Swami has orchestrated it. Their technique was because the tumor was so large, they wanted to make sure that in case I needed to have chemotherapy and reconstructive surgery don't really go well together.
I see. Okay.
So after removing the right breast and the tumor, they have to do another biopsy on it. They have to do another more tests on it to check the perimeters of it, basically the margins, to make sure that the cancer isn't on the edges and perhaps going into the other parts of the body. So that was the first surgery. And then we learned after the MRI results came back, again, Swami showed his presence, that the tumor size was actually a 1.6 centimeter tumor and not so big.
And although they had said 4 centimeters in the first MRI.
Yes, and what they said is that the tumor showed edema around it, showed swelling around it. That's why it showed to be large. Hmm. And then the doctor said that we need to do what is called the gene test to see the reoccurrence of the particular cancer cells that I had in my body, mm-hmm. and to see how fast these cells are growing and what the reoccurrence rate would be. And if that rate comes out high, that it's a high rate, then chemotherapy is a must. Mm-hmm. Again, I was ready. I was prepared. In the case that I did have to go through chemotherapy, I didn't want any drama. I didn't want this hair falling out and, you know, just in bunches and all. I just wanted to shave my head before that. So I was ready for that. I was looking at what type of scarf and for my head and everything. Then I learned that that wasn't going to be the case because the test, it's called Oncotype DX, mm-hmm. was the name of the test, mm-hmm. the gene test. And it came back with a very low score. So that meant that chemotherapy was out for me. And instead, I would be taking one tablet of tamoxifen for the next 5 years. And that was it. So then that was the green light to go ahead with the rest of what needed to be done. And so that's why the 9 surgeries. So because the doctors believed in procedure, healing, that's what
it went through.
Yes.
I see. Now, in hindsight, even when you talk about it with a lot of courage, it is definitely quite a traumatizing experience, I'm sure, for you. When you were going through that process, did you have moments of self-doubt, fear, anxiety? Obviously, like, Nobody likes to be wheeled into an operating theater even for a fracture, leave alone something like this.
You know, there was initially, so this is the test of faith. Although I say, you know, I have a lot of faith in Swami, this, that, the faith became stronger as time went through every surgery, because every step of the way he showed his presence, his signs. After every surgery, I went back to work after maybe a week. I was back at work. And I had told Swami from the beginning that keep me like that beautiful fragrant rose that's in your hand. Keep me like that throughout. And that's how he kept me. I shared that rose with my co-workers who have prayed. They set up altars at the workplace at every surgery. I gave each one of them a rose at the beginning when I found out. And I'd saying to them that you are beautiful and all women are beautiful. I know that what I'm going through for a reason. This is how God is going to keep me. And at the end of everything, that's I gave everybody that same rose again, saying, see, this is how he kept me. Here I am.
What a great gift of life that you have been bestowed upon after going to the brink. And actually, every breath we take is a gift of God.
Absolutely.
But unless we go to that edge where you've been, we don't realize sometimes, remember consciously the value of...
You don't. It's easily forgotten.
Very easily.
Very easily forgotten. But I really had to pull the reins. I think I feel like as if I had to condition my mind, as if like, okay, just you let everything go. You left it to Swami. Now just go about your day like the regular day.
Now in your case, the outcome was wonderful because with the grace of God, you're cancer free now. What if it wasn't? What would you say to somebody who goes through all this aggressive treatment and everything and things don't work out for them? Because in India, the rate of mortality for cancer patients amongst women is very high.
Yes. It's very important to stay positive. Stay positive from the onset. Really, really, really important. Being negative, having aggression, that why me, this... You, why did Swami give me this? You try to stay positive. It's difficult, but it's important. Because I felt that I named my tumor, by the way. I named my tumor Saishwari. Because my aunt told me that make sure you have no aggression in your body. Right now, your cells, these cancer cells are there. They're there for a reason. Accept it. Accept it. With love. And so I did.
That was very profound advice.
That's Swami. That was Swami. So I did. So I named my tumor. I named my tumor Saishwari. I accepted her as a gift and said, thank you. You've come for whatever reason and I'll let you go with love. Release you with love. No aggression. No aggression in the body at all.
No remorse, no self-pity, self-loathing.
I didn't ask why me. I asked why not. I know I'm supposed to do something with this, perhaps.
And what is it today in hindsight
that
you were supposed to do with this experience?
Share it. Share Swami's love. Share whatever grace was bestowed upon me. Share it with others.
How did your family cope, your husband?
He was a rock. He was the one who every time would say, Swami's there. We have nothing to fear. Swami's right there. My entire family, everybody was right there. Very, very. In fact, if I ever became emotional in the 3 years, if I ever became emotional or broke down, it was because of the overwhelming amount of love and support that I had. incredible. People sending me teddy bears and cards and in anticipation of me perhaps maybe having to go through chemo, my cousin sent me a care packet of a throw and a sippy cup and all of these things that she felt that I may need. Somebody had gone to a temple and on that Gayatri statue was the chunni, and that chunni they had sent to me. All of these things, everybody had so much. I felt as if they have so much faith. It was selfless for them. It was a selfless prayer that they prayed for me. That again is Swami. Who? Like I told you, even my coworkers, every single surgery they set up an altar. Every single surgery. I'm like, guys, aren't you tired? You don't need to do that. Nope. Make sure Rupesh tells us what time the surgery is, because we're going to light the lamp. They did. So along with that, all of this tremendous love and support that I had was just incredible. Incredible. It was almost, like I said, overwhelming. And that the like Swami says, the power packed in prayer. Absolutely.
So in the process of going through so many surgeries and tests and medical procedures, which are so draining for most people, your faith underwent some evolution? It strengthened?
Absolutely. Absolutely strengthened. In fact,
what is it you know today that you did not know before?
You know, the change that came about for myself was that before, prayers were always about the immediate family or extended family. Now the prayers, I can't do that anymore. I can't.
What do you pray for now?
I can't pray just, for instance, when we were on the plane, the prayers are more universal now. It's like, before I would say, Swami, you fly the plane. You be the pilot. You be the air. You be the plane. You be everything. And get us. Us meaning who? Me and my family there safely. Now the prayer is become more universal, that Swami, get each and every one of these people here on this plane to their destination safely. Prayers have become universal.
Is this your first visit to India after the procedures and
yes,
the experience?
This is the first visit after.
So how does it feel to be in Prashanthi Nilayam?
Healing. Mm. Absolutely healing. Mm. Amazing.
The experience of going to the, have you been to the Mahasamadhi? You arrived yesterday.
Yes. I felt like a current went through me. Almost like a bolt, and immediately recharged me. Amazing.
Well, you look like a picture of poise and radiance, so I have to say you look very well, Mona. And with the grace of God, I'm sure you're going to live a long, healthy, full life. And absolutely cancer-free and healthy. Let's not even worry. Go into the C word right now. What I want to ask you is, there are many women who battle this issue and many families who go through it. Many people have lost their loved ones to it. Everyone is not lucky to come out alive out of this experience. And cancer is a plague that is growing faster than even cardiac diseases or anything else in our society. What changes in your mental, spiritual, physical lifestyle have you made after this experience that you could share with others? Do you eat differently? Do you do things differently? Do you react differently? Do you take things that you took more seriously, less seriously, or vice versa today? After where you've been and what you've done and known?
Yeah, I think I'm more conscious about what I eat, more conscious about the environment. For instance, we stopped using water bottles, plastic bottles in the house. More aware of everything around me. Almost as if seeing Swami in everything. Before, it was easy just to use the water bottle plastic and just throw it. I can't do that. I can't do that anymore because it just doesn't feel right. I feel that it's harming Swami. My approach, I think, to things now are probably more, before I would jump at this, you know, at some moment, happy moment, sad moment, I would react. But I think now I almost take a step back and almost as if I'm balanced, if you know what I mean.
Like
if it's almost as if it's an extremely happy moment, I'm happy, but I'm not jumping up and down. If it's a very, very sad moment, I'm not so sad, almost balanced.
And I'm just wondering, do your priorities change after such an experience? Things that we make a big deal about generally, do they seem less significant? You know, we fuss over small things in life, about whether it is acquisition of goals which might be referred to as success, or winning approval, or facing criticism. Any of that seem different today?
Yeah, it's all like fell to the wayside. It's non-existent anymore. It doesn't matter, as if, like before, it used to be like, oh, what if I get criticized about that? Some work I haven't done properly. Not so anymore. It's fine. I've done my work. I've done to the best of my ability. The rest is up to God, Swami's will.
So before you leave Prashanthi Nilayam, perhaps tomorrow, or what is it? What will be your prayer to Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba?
Prayer to give to any man or woman who is experiencing this disease, this cancer, to give them that strength. Help them to be fearless, because I found that when he made me fearless, I was ready. I was ready for every single surgery. And I was ready to go back to work right after, about a week after. So that my prayer would be to Swami to help them be fearless. Give them that strength, because I accepted this as a gift. And I know that it's not the case for everybody to do so. And it's hard. But at least if Swami can make them fearless and give them that strength, they can face it. Two points I'll touch on about the power of prayer. Before the another dream I had before the first surgery, I had a dream of Shirdi Baba came to my dream, and Shirdi Baba said, my sister-in-law, have her read the Sai Sat Charitra. And that was all that was in the dream. And at the same time, she was attending a wedding across the world. And somebody who was going through breast cancer, also a Sai devotee, she had mentioned to her that my sister-in-law is going through this and please pray for her. And she said, you know what? You can read Sai Sat Charitra. So as I'm talking to her, telling her I had this dream that Shirdi Baba said for you to read this, she's telling me that somebody told me that I should read this.
What are the odds, huh?
What are the odds? Mm. Swami, he's the divine orchestrator
of everything.
Of everything. Another about prayer, like I mentioned before, the amount of people, family, friends, extended family, people I don't even know were praying for me. I'll give you an example of, we were having, at the time all of this was happening, we had a painting going on in the house because we had some leak. So we had to just do painting of everything. And this lady came. She was an Oriental lady, and she came just to meet us, just to tell us that, look, you know, it'll be a few days. I won't be able to start the work right away. It'll be a few days. And Rupesh said, that's fine. You come after her surgery is finished, then you can start your work. And then she was there at the door, and she said, is it okay if I sit down and pray? And I said, sure. So we sat down right there in the living room in front of Swami's picture, and she held our hands, and she said some prayers in her language, praying to Jesus. But it was prayer. It was very profound, very strong. Her prayers were the recitation was very strong and amazing. I hugged her. I said, thank you. She said, no, I wanted to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Thank you so much. I don't even know this person. Yet she felt the need to pray for me.
God comes in so many forms.
Absolutely. Our friends did the same. They came to our home for dinner one day and they said, can we sit 5 minutes before we have our meal? Can we just sit and pray? I want to pray for you. I said that, sure. Same thing.
And now you're back to work and you feel normal energy
yes.
levels?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So much more, such greater appreciation for each morning that we wake up, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Blessed.
I guess every experience is a lesson.
It is.
It wakes you up.
Yes, it does. It does.
At many levels.
Absolutely.
Well, Mona Koteja, it's been very brave of you to share your journey. And I'm sure it's not been easy, but I'm hoping in the process you have helped a lot of our listeners who have either family members going through similar trauma or they are experiencing it themselves.
Thank you so much.
It's been great to have you here. And on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, we wish you a long and healthy and happy, wonderful Sai-filled life ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live on this 29th day of March 2018. The time in the ashram right now is 23 minutes past 10 a.m. exactly. I was waiting for that seconds watch to turn. And you just heard an episode of Trisway Divinity with Mrs. Mona Koteja of the United States. I look forward to your feedback to this interview. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. With that, dear listeners, I want to come back to the question I had posed. I think the challenge level was slightly higher. Only a few brave souls attempted my question. And they are Brother Yoga Kumaran Nadaraja from Toronto, Canada, Sri Ramakrishna SP, and Rajni Devnath. And I'm sorry to say, dear sisters and brothers, none of the answers you provided, they're very likely answers. My question was, who was the last devotee of Baba who received that final gentle smile from Bhagwan as Bhagwan was being wheeled into the operation theater on that fateful day on 27th of March 2011? And some of you have said Dr. Safaya, someone has guessed the late Sri V. Srinivasan or Sri Chakravarti sir, somebody else said Brother Satyajit. These are not the answers. I'm sure Brother Satyajit was with Swami inside, but my question was, who were the two devotees? Professor Venkatraman and one more person were standing there because they had rushed. So I'm going to read you a small extract from an account that Professor Venkatraman has written in Heart to Heart, and I will tell you the title of the article. It says, "It is not emptiness, but a super cosmic fullness." And it was published in May 2011. The special musings is called, feature article, "It is not emptiness, but a super cosmic fullness." And I'll just quote a few extracts so that we get to our answer. I quote Professor Venkatraman, who goes on to say in this article, "Let me now cut to Saturday, March 27th, 2011. The day before Bhagwan was admitted to the hospital. That evening, Aarti was given early, after which the current Vice Chancellor, Professor Prasad, former Vice Chancellor Professor Pandit, and I went to Swami's residence, as we often did. We were told Swami was not well, that two doctors whom Swami lately permitted to attend on him were upstairs with Swami, and that some monitoring equipment was being brought to keep a watch on his health condition. At that time, no one had the slightest indication whatsoever that a crisis was fast approaching. Night passed. When I checked next morning, I was told that Swami had rested and spent an uneventful night. Around 3 o'clock or so in the afternoon, so I'm guessing that is, I was incorrect, it is 3 o'clock on March 28th, dear listeners. Professor G.V. says, and I quote, around 3 o'clock or so in the afternoon, Professor Pandit called me to say that an ambulance had come to Swami's residence, Yajur Mandir, and there was some activity around there. It seemed as if Swami was being taken to the hospital, and so we both rushed there. It so happened that we left a bit later, but our car almost caught up with the ambulance, not only because we took a shortcut, but also for the reason that the ambulance was being driven slowly. Anyway, to get on with the narration, both of us managed to be there when Swami was helped out of the ambulance at the entrance of to the hospital. Although Swami went in an ambulance, he was actually on a wheelchair and not on a stretcher as I had imagined. Professor Pandit was by my side all the time, and he tells me that Swami gave him a gentle smile. Little did Dr. Pandit know that the smile was going to become his most treasured memory. So, dear listeners, it's our Dr. Vishwanath Pandit, or V.N. Pandit, the former Vice Chancellor of the Satya Sai University and the current Director of the Sri Satya Sai Center for Human Values, under which many educational initiatives of the trust are run, including the Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vahini. It was Dr. Pandit who received that final gift of a gentle smile from Swami. And if you want to read this thought-provoking and riveting account of what we all went through in the days to come, I would urge you to go to May 2011 issue of Heart to Heart. And in Volume 9, Issue Number 8, there is this article, a special musing by Professor G. Venkatraman. It's called, It Is Not Emptiness, But a Super Cosmic Fullness. And I would urge you to read it very slowly, because this is a time when all of us need to reflect very deeply on what Swami meant to us. What did he teach us, and what are we supposed to follow? And where are some people going with all this? On one hand, Swami has spent his entire life serving humanity. God came to serve us so that we would learn from his example and be as selfless and pure, at least aspire to be as selfless and pure as he always has been. And yet, on the other hand, there's a small group of opportunists who are traveling around the world with a begging bowl and pretending to relay Baba's messages for money. I would urge every listener of Radio Sai to make it their personal business to refrain from any association with anybody who is impersonating as Swami and who is trying to do everything which goes against the very grain of what Baba stood for. Have you ever found a donation box anywhere in Prashanti Nilayam? I've lived here for 10 last years continuously. I've never found anything. Swami has never asked anyone for anything. And there is such purity in the way things are conducted in Prashanti Nilayam, and that tradition that Swami has set continues to be honored and respected as the major guideline here. And yet we find people who are misusing his divine name, misusing his sacred mission, and pretending to channel messages from him and traveling around with the begging bowl. This is a real shame to all of us, and we're not living up to our master's teachings. If he's our mother and father, then it is time for us to take a stand and say no to any such fraud or impersonation. So I would urge all our sisters and brothers to take a moment to pledge that you, and if you find people getting drawn into it because of mental instability or you know, confusion, or just because they're so naive, they don't know this goes against Swami's teachings, I would urge you to go back to the basics, go to Swami's discourses and see what he says. And I want you to know that Professor G. Venkatraman has written another article, which is titled something like, To Follow Baba Swami's Wishes or Not. In that, he has got a full set of quotations from Swami's divine discourses spread over 3 decades, where Swami has said he has a direct and heart-to-heart relationship with each one of us. We should stay away from anyone who pretends to be a channel, a medium, or an impersonator in any gross, subtle, or liquid form. Stay away from such people. Swami said all those people should be shunned from Sai organization, kept away from all of us, because he is quite capable of communicating with us directly from within our hearts. Those who have failed to develop that connection with Swami and failed to have that faith, they are falling for this trap. So please just introduce them to Sai literature. You don't need to lecture them. Just let them see what Swami has said and then come to their own conclusion. Because it is very unfortunate that as we mark this momentous day, there are people who will go to any depths, who will sink to any lows to make money for business purposes, for personal aggrandizement, to fulfill their, unfulfilled ambitions and satisfy some lower aspirations. So let's stay clear from that and let's stick to the path that Swami has shown us, which is a path of selflessness, purity, simplicity, quality over quantity, and a very silent revolution that Swami has started that doesn't require a PR agency to constantly pump around and go around talking. We don't need any company like Cambridge Analytica to help us find our way into people's hearts, because our Swami does it himself directly. He reveals himself to the seeker at the right time, at the right moment. With that thought, I just want to read to you, dear sisters and brothers, a wonderful WhatsApp that my colleague has just sent me. And I think it's so nice. It's a great reminder that when we hear the word Bangaru, it means it's the voice of love. If we receive a pat on the cheek, it's a touch of love from Bhagwan. This is from Bhagwan. Prize distribution by Bhagwan is a gift of love. Darshan of Bhagwan is a walk of love. Bhajan of Bhagwan, message of love. Prasadam of Swami, blessing of love. Divine discourses, reminder of love. Letters of Swami, writing of love. Bhagwan's photos, memories of love. Bhagwan's videos, glimpses of love. Divine sessions, feeding of love. Divine dramas, in the divine presence, dialogues of love. Grama seva, or village seva, or service projects, opportunity of love. Sai University convocation, advice of love. Swami's birthday, celebration of love. Education, excuse of love. I agree with that one. I only went to university to have an excuse to experience Swami's love. Teachers, Swami's teachers, reflection of love. Swami's students, property of love. Swami, the very embodiment of pure love. Our lives, it says PS, our lives must become testimony of His love. And that love does not beg, have financial plans, cheat, or misrepresent. So let's please stick to the organic path of pure, selfless, divine love that Bhagwan taught all of us and exemplified by His life, the life He lived, and that which remains the main current behind everything that happens in the Satya Sai Central Trust, in Prashanti Nilayam, in the Satya Sai Seva Organization, in the Satya Sai International Organization, the guiding force of purity, unity and divinity. Let's stick to that part, dear sisters and brothers. With that, I leave you to enjoy some music, divine music. I hope you like my collection. Every week I try to see the feedback and play the songs that you tell me that you enjoy. And till we meet next Thursday, I urge you to start planning your visit to come home on that very poignant day in our lives, 24th of April 2018. And offer our love unitedly together at the lotus feet.
Thank you for your company and have a great day ahead, dear sisters and brothers. Jai Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
నేను ఎప్పుడు మీ వెంటనే జంటనే ఇంటనే ఉంటుంటాను. కనుక మీరందరూ కూడా ఐకమత్యంతో పనిచేయండి. నా సీట్ ఇక్కడ కాదు, నా సీట్ మీ యొక్క హృదయమే. కనుకనే మీరు ఎక్కడ ఉంటే అక్కడ కూడా స్వామి ఉంటున్నాడు.
స్వామి ఇస్ దేర్ వెరెవర్ యు ఆర్.
ఏ కొరతను మీకు జరగవు.
నథింగ్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ టు యు.
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి అపజయాలు మీకు జరగవు.
యు విల్ నెవర్ హావ్ ఫెయిల్యూర్.
కానీ పరిపూర్ణమైన విశ్వాసంతో మీరు పనిలో ప్రారంభించండి.
వర్క్ విత్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్.
ఏ పని చేసినా కూడా ఇది భగవత్ కార్యంగా భావించండి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ యు మే డు గుడ్ వర్క్ టేక్ ఇట్ యాస్ గాడ్స్ వర్క్.
Thank you.
Vaheguru, Vaheguru, Vaheguru Ji Bolo. Vaheguru, Vaheguru, Vaheguru Ji Bolo. Satyanam, Satyanam, Satyanam Ji Bolo. Satyanam, Satyanam, Bolo. Satyanam, Satyanam, Satyanam Ji Bolo. నిత్య నిత్యం జపియే తేరే నామ జీ బోలో నిత్య నిత్యం జపియే సత్యనామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ సత్యనామ రామ 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 జీ బోలో బోలో రామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ సత్యనామ కృష్ణ 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 జీ బోలో కృష్ణ 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 బోల్ కృష్ణ 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 జీ బోలో కృష్ణ 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 నిత్య నిత్యం జపియే కృష్ణనామ జీ బోలో నిత్య నిత్యం జపియే హరి 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 జీ బోలో Bolo, Hari 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 Ji Bolo. Satyanam, Satyanam, Satyanam Ji Bolo. Satyanam, 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 Satyanam Ji Bolo. Govind Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai. Govind Jai Jai Gopal Jai Jai. రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జై జై గోవింద జై జై గోపాల జై జై గోవింద జై జై గోపాల జై జై గోవింద జై జై గోపాల జై జై బోల గోవింద జై జై గోపాల జై జై గోవింద జై జై గోపాల జై జై బోలో గోవింద జై జై గోపాల జై జై రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జై జై వాకే గురు వాకే గురు వాకే గురు జీ బోలో వాకే గురు వాకే గురు బోలో వాకే గురు వాకే గురు వాకే గురు జీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 సత్యనామ
ఏక ఓంకార సత్యనామ కర్తా పూరక నిర్పార నిర్వైర అకాల మూర్త అర్జుని సేవం గురు ప్రసాద జప ఆద సచ్చ జుగాద సచ్చ హై భీ సచ్చ नानक हो सी भी सच गुरु मेरी पूजा गुरु गोविंद गुरु मेरी पूजा गुरु गोविंद भगवंत गुरु मेरा पार ब्रह्म गुरु भगवंत गुरु मेरी पूजा
Krishna. संग जोड़ो जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं ना ही तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं ना ही तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो तरुवर मैं भये पतिया तुम भये सरोवर मैं भये मछिया तुम भये गिरीवर मैं भये छारा तुम भये चंदा मैं भये चकोरा जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं ना ही तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो हम भये धारा तुम भये सोना हम भये सुहागा भये मीरा के प्रभु जी ब्रिज के वासी सुनो हे गोपाल सुनो हे गोपाल तुम मेरे ठाकुर मैं तेरी दासी जो तुम तोड़ो पिया मैं ना ही तोड़ो रे तो से प्रीत तोड़े कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो कृष्णा कौन संग जोड़ो
गिरिधर गिरिधर తప్పుల బాబా ఎందలేడు కళ్ళ From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.